I'm Mitzi Perdue, and my website is mitzipurdue.com. And I have another website that I'd love you to visit also. It's called winthisfight.org. You're listening to EA Interviews.
EA Interviews, episode 240.
Inspiration, transformation, success stories, and the imperfect action round. 7 days a week. Join Mario Ficini for today's Expert Authority Effect interview.
For anyone listening to this, go back and listen to part one. But real quick recap, we have Mitzi Perdue here, and she's just a gem. Listen to part one, and this will make more sense. So, Mitzi, thank you for that, because normally I have to do those after the fact, but you're just such a breeze to be interviewing. I want to say thank you to you.
Oh, it's my joy to be with you. I'm loving this.
I'm having a lot of fun, too. So let's just continue on the story you've been sharing. You know, you were telling us about your dad who started Sheraton Hotels and your late husband, Frank, owner of Perdue Chicken. So all of this is coming together, and I see that you have this standard of excellence throughout all of it. Where has it brought you current day?
Current day, I expect to spend the rest of my time on earth combating human trafficking. And I began being interested in it. Well, there was a day, there was an hour that changed my life, and it was April 11th of 2019, probably around 2 o'clock. And I heard a speaker talk about human trafficking. And up until that point in my life, the word human trafficking, they were just words that would sort of glide on by. I didn't really relate to them. But in this case, the speaker showed pictures of little girls. They were 10 to 12 years old. I'm going to guess there might have been a dozen of them who had been sex trafficked. And these little girls were forced to have sex with strangers 10 or 12 times a night. And, you know, it had been going on for years. So imagine a little girl being raped 3,000 times in the course of a year. And I could see like the fear and the despair on their faces, and I couldn't unsee it. And so I'm thinking, I want to do something about this. And all right, I'm sitting in the audience, and the lecturer is telling about what it costs to marshal the forces together to come and rescue sex trafficked children. And I'm thinking, I want to write a great big check and do something about this. But then as I'm sitting in the audience, I'm thinking, but if I write a great big check to this organization, it's going to be cutting back in other organizations that I'm really deeply committed to, like, for example, the food bank. I mean, I really care about the food bank, the local food bank, and to some extent, national food banks. And I'm thinking, I'm running through every cause that I care about and that I've contributed to, and I can't think of any that I want to cut back on. And so my mind is just bouncing back and forth, cut back on this one, cut back on this one. And then I had an idea. I inherited from my late parents a desk that we think is about 400 years old. It belonged to, we think, a de Medici cardinal. And I know that because it's historically valuable and it's a beautiful piece, and because it was owned by the founder of the Sheraton Hotel Company, that if it was put up for auction, it probably raised a lot of money and a lot of awareness at the same time. And yeah, I was really fond of this desk, but I'm thinking I could have this desk, or maybe I could save several dozen children. And yeah, which would I rather have, this object or the chance to save children from what to me sounds like a fate worse than death? Because when a child is trafficked, there's not only her suffering, but imagine the suffering of, or, and it could be a boy, of the child's family. I mean, it's just this, I think it's the most despicable, awful thing in the world. And it's not just one or two kids. According to the United Nations, there's probably a million children who are being sex trafficked right now. There are 8 million human beings that are being sex trafficked. And there's 40 million who are slave labor total. So I want to do something about it. But and so, yes, of course, I'd sell this chest and give the money to help rescue sex trafficked children. But then I had an idea. If I felt that way, that I don't have a lot of money that's not already spoken for, that I don't have money that if I support a new cause, I don't have to cut back another. But what if I sold tangible property and turned it into cash? Might there be other people who would feel exactly the same way, that they don't have loose cash floating around, but they do have like jewelry or paintings that they would be willing to, if somebody could make it easy for them to convert it into cash, that they'd give it to the anti-trafficking organization of their choice. And it turns out that lots of people do feel that way. And I went to one of the major auction houses in New York, and I can't say their name because they're giving me a special deal that they're not going to give all their clients. But they said if I could create one great big huge auction with very high-end objects, that they, because they hate trafficking, would be willing to forego their 20% commission. And it was getting really exciting with some of the most amazing gifts you've ever heard of. Like, well, let's say a diamond and sapphire necklace that belonged to Merlina Dietrich, appraised at $1 million. A ruby. Before COVID-19 struck, I'd been spending my time going around the world collecting amazing donations. And the biggest one was from a jeweler in Taipei, Taiwan, who gave me a ruby a little bit smaller than a golf ball. And it's a perfect ruby. And here I am holding this, you know, if you've never, the thing weighs 69.7 carats and it belonged to a Qing Dynasty emperor. And yeah, when that thing is put up for auction, it's going to bring millions and millions and millions, all of which can go to anti-trafficking. However, COVID-19 put all of this on hold because the auction house doesn't want to have an auction where, you know, where people are worried about the economy and what's going to happen next. And you have to plan these things probably close to a year in advance. So the auction house wants to wait till COVID-19 is behind us. So that's on hold. So what do we do instead?
Find a way.
There's a way that, you know, it almost might turn into something better. Because the auction, you know, it's my dearest hope in life almost that this will take place, because I think we're on track to raising $100 million. And you know, that could make a dent in human trafficking. And where it would go be the donor would always get to choose where their yacht or their hotel or their antique car collection, they say where their tangible property goes, and the auction house converts it into cash. And then an anti-trafficking organization that the donor chooses is the recipient. So yeah, the plan is good, but I didn't expect COVID-19. But instead, I've made friends with some people in, it's called the International Fraud Group, and it's made up of individuals in 50 different countries, well, 47, that their specialty is attacking criminal fraud. They haven't up until this year been involved in human trafficking, but here's the idea that I'm just so involved in now. And anybody who's listening, who wants to know more details about it or who would like to be involved, can they text WTF to 51555? And by the way, if you're a little shocked by WTF, yeah, I do know what it means. There's a fellow who's a neuromarketer who said, that's perfect, because the initials of win this fight are WTF and it's memorable. So I'm going to predict that anybody who wants to contact me by texting WTF to 51555, they won't have any trouble remembering the initials.
Probably not.
Probably not, but that's as deliberate as you can possibly imagine.
So what is your goal? Are you looking for more donors, or are you looking for more volunteers, both?
Well, at the moment, I'm looking for people just to sign up and be part of my blog, because I write a blog once a week on different anti-trafficking efforts. But let me share with you briefly, if I can.
Please.
What I would like people to sort of have a ringside seat on watching how this unfolds. And to explain it, I have to go back probably 15 or 20 years to a problem that one of the larger software companies had, because it's a problem that's very like human trafficking. And I'll explain the connection in a second, but let me tell you the software problem. There were pirates who were making millions and millions and millions of dollars all over the globe off of pirating software. And the software company, you know, they could find traffickers and put them in jail, but it was so lucrative that the moment they put one in jail, somebody else took his place. Until the International Fraud Group came up with the idea of, yeah, it would be nice to put them in jail, but what really stops them is find where they bank and trace with just incredible precision, which they have the ability to do. I mean, it's dark web and artificial intelligence and covert operations. And one way or another, they can trace where the pirates, the software counterfeiters, were banking. And they just like sneak up, go to the bank and say, hey, we can prove that this is hot money and it really belongs to the software company. The banks would freeze the account. The software company would seize the stolen money, and the software company was making $30 for every $1 they spent on the people who were shutting down the traffickers. So it was, you know, it was very worthwhile for the software company. But what happened in a really pretty short time, I'm thinking like maybe a year or so, it became so unprofitable for the software counterfeiters that they effectively were shut down. Because this is really improbable, but for the moment, imagine that you're a software counterfeiter and you've spent so much time and effort counterfeiting this stuff, and then you go to the bank for your millions of dollars and it's frozen and it went right back to the software company. You know, it just destroys your motivation. You're in it to make money, and the International Fraud Group members were just able to keep the counterfeiters from getting their money. It worked beautifully. Well, how does this relate to human trafficking? Well, human trafficking is a $150 billion a year industry, and one trafficker in New York can make $1 million a year just off of four girls. So they're in it for the money. What if we could interrupt their money flow?
And we should, because it's a horrible, disgusting thing. And no matter if it's, you know, people look at all these world issues and I think they get confused because they think it's this big thing that no one can combat or this, that, the other thing. And whether it's business, criminal activity, sick stuff like this, people are people. You got motivation, you got demotivation, you got I'm doing this for profit or a bigger cause, or, you know, there's always a reason behind it. When you can kill that reason, for whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, I mean, killing communications and the money supply, that pretty much is a large 80%+ of anything.
Yes. And I mean, we truly do know the motivation of the traffickers. I mean, there are some who may have a different motivation, but how about the overwhelming motivation for the traffickers is money. And if we can cut off their money, their motivation is gone. I mean, some are just SOBs and want to make people miserable, but I think money is the motivation. And there exists the ability to cut it off. But why hasn't it been done so far? Well, in the case of local law enforcement, they don't have a great big budget to devote to this. And they may not even have the know-how. I mean, the big cities like New York would certainly have it, but trafficking is everywhere. And the local police departments, they're so busy dealing with local stuff, rapes, murders, arson. Where do they... They don't have the ability to, they don't have the resources to go after an international crime like this. So what I'm hoping to do, And anybody who has any suggestions for helping me with this goal, the International Fraud Group could make a difference. But I can't ask them to do it for free. Supposing you're just a rock star in this, and we want the rock stars, you may be making $250,000 a year, and you probably have a mortgage and kids to put through college. You can't do it for free. So my goal is to get to one of the really big funders, like maybe the Gates Foundation, maybe the Ford Foundation, or maybe Jeff Bezos, or just people who have money where $10 million wouldn't be an extraordinary amount for them. If they could fund this, I think that we could make an extraordinary dent in human suffering. There will be children who won't be trafficked and who can grow up to be all they can be. There will be families that just aren't torn apart with grief that never ends. This is something where we could change the world, but it's going to take money, and I'd love advice from anybody.
Yeah, and a lot of the right people too, because, you know, unfortunately, this is something somewhat close to my heart because, I mean, it's close. It was never me or anyone in my immediate family, but I have friends and I've had people on the show that this is their case. And I think it's a horrible thing. There's a ministry, Mercy Multiplied, who takes care of girls from after the fact who got out of it. And that's one I've supported for ages, and I think it's fantastic. But I love that you're talking about this because it's a preventing it before it gets to that point, as well as, you know, I was happy that my church was doing something locally in the Detroit area where actually the FBI came into the church. And I had a lot of speeding tickets when I was in my young teens and stuff. So I was going to be a police officer at one point, but still I was like looking over at the FBI, just like, I don't know why I'm freaked out, but it's kind of cool that they're here. But joking aside, you know, there's a lot of good people who want to do stuff like this. And I think it's fantastic that you're doing it, because when I heard about it, I was like, absolutely, let's talk about it. And again, to what I said about Treasure Island, why did I call it that? That makes no sense. The people that will see this and hear this, and the ones I'm going to reach out to, there's the ripple effect of, well, it's not just me and you, it's who do you know? Who do I know? Who do they know? And I think what you're talking about, the small towns and stuff, unfortunately, you know, this is just, it's not that people don't want to help, it's a budgetary thing.
Yeah, and you tell me a police department that has excess money to throw around. They don't exist. They are stretched thin.
And if you've got 19 problems in County A versus County B, you know, you can slip under the radar just because you know, one of the things I really have always wanted to help people. I wanted to be FBI, CIA, lawyer, attorney, police officer. So it's funny when people are like, oh, you're going to get caught. They'll run a DNA test. You know, they see CSI in all these shows and it's Chicago PD. It's like, do you know how much DNA tests are? Do you really think they're going to bust out this entire team of people to find your lost car? I mean, depending on the situation, but the reality is it's not how it works. It makes for good TV and movies and everything. But the real reality is there's plenty of good people out there. And the more we get in touch with them and the more we do this, everybody, you know, I love this quote by someone smarter than me. Everybody is somebody's someone.
Martin Luther King's, we can all be great because we can all serve. Which brings me back to texting that memorable phrase, WTF, which, by the way, I really think is an appropriate response to the horror of... All right, so text WTF to 51555. I would like people to do that because the larger the list that I have, the more clout I have when I go calling on, I mean, I'm being hypothetical, I'm not expecting this to happen, but it could, calling on Mr. Bezos. It'd be neat. And then I'm also creating a TED Talk, and I'd love to direct people when I do the TED Talk, The more hits I get, the better. But most of all, what's in it for them? I think for somebody who signs up for my blog, you're going to learn. I don't write dark stuff. I write about good people who are fighting this. And they're fabulous stories. They're people who've recovered. They're people who are helping people recover. They're people who help rescue. There's prevention. And, you know, the biggest prevention will be when we can make people less vulnerable. But I can also share things about how to tell if it's going on. Or what if you see trafficking? What do you do? And I'll tell you right off what to do. Don't try to interfere, because you may put the person who's being trafficked in danger.
In a worse spot.
Yeah, I mean, that's if you see something, don't reveal that you've seen it, but get every detail that you possibly can, such as when, where, what time, what does he look like, what does she look like, and then tell the police, tell 911 if it's something imminent, but leave it to law enforcement or people who know what they're doing to effect the rescue. Because, I mean, people get killed when people who don't know what they're doing try to do a rescue.
Well, yeah, you know, to the point of what you were saying when you were working on the assembly line with the chickens and everything, if you don't have the experience, it's not that you can't do it. It's just that unless you have military training prior and you're now a veteran, first off, thank you for your service. But two, yeah, the common everyday folk is not equipped to take down hardened criminals.
Yeah, and then one of the things that traffickers do is they take it out on their victims. I mean, I'm just thinking of should I tell this? Yeah, I started. Of a case that a detective in the New York Police Department, I'm not sure if I've got his title right, but this guy told me about a woman who had tried to escape because there was somebody who had promised her that she could escape, but her trafficker got to her first, chased her down, reached for a glass bottle of beer. And so he's holding her in, you know, his arm against his chest. And he smashes the bottle of beer and slashes her face from her ear to her chin. And the policeman, the law enforcement officer, visits this woman in the hospital, and she's had 32 stitches, and he wants to find out who did this to her. She's so scared that she won't talk with him. And when she leaves the hospital, she goes back to her trafficker because she's that scared. So, you know, this isn't something for civilians to mess with.
Yeah, there's definitely psychological issues with that too, and PTSD. And, you know, I've heard, unfortunately, about that where, you know, they're free. And, you know, even unfortunately, sometimes even after rehab, 6-12 months, I mean, people don't realize how deep it can go on an emotional level and psychological level and all of that.
Well, my impression, and I can't know that I'm right, but this is when I heard this story, my impression is this woman was so terrified. She had looked death in the face, and she didn't want this guy mad at her again.
Yeah, but it's unfortunate, but I'm glad that you're spearheading this, because, and tell everyone on the website.
Oh, the website is winthisfight.org.
Thank you. And what's great about it is, again, there's resources now and they're doing great stuff, but this is for after the fact, when you can cut it off at the head to begin with. You know, I don't think any of them would be upset if there was no longer a need. You know, I believe they would just transition to continuing to, you know, cut it off at the head here.
All right. My expectation to answer the question is, there's $150 billion at stake. That money, I mean, I don't
drain
know that
it.
This, well, okay, we want to drain it. We want to, you know, the term is freeze, seize, and squeeze. You freeze the bank accounts, but where does that bank money go? And I don't know at this point where it will go, but I'll tell you what my deepest hope is, that it goes right to anti-trafficking organizations. Mm-hmm. Because the aftercare, I mean, supposing, miracle, that 3 to 5 years from now that that the traffickers got shut down the same way the software counterfeiters got shut down. And it's not impossible. It'll take a lot of fine tuning, and I don't want to promise more than will happen, but the possibility is real. So imagine that trafficking, instead of 40 million people, that it's just cut way down to, well, far less than it is now. And I think that's realistic. There will still be people who will need aftercare. There will be people who will need education, job training. I mean, there's no lack of need for the existing organizations. And my prayer is that some of the evil money would get funneled to the anti-trafficking organizations.
I believe it's 100% possible. And it's not that you're overpromising anything. You're painting the vision of what you want to see happen.
Thank you. Yes.
That's my take on
it. I love that frame of it.
I mean, that's what it's not like you're saying, come to my event, you know, 7 days from now, there's going to be X, Y, Z. You're saying, here's the cause and the mission that we're creating. Here's where I hope to see it go over the next 3 to 5 years.
And the more people who join this cause, and I make a pledge to anybody who does join, you know, initially for the first, maybe even year, the only thing that I'll ask of you is to read the newsletters once a week. But later on, here's the promise I make. I will never ask anybody for anything that they don't want to do or they don't want to give.
It's a good promise.
And my goal is that serving in this effort will be one of the most deeply satisfying, exciting things you've ever done. And I invite you to come along for the ride.
Well, I'm so glad you're doing it. I definitely want to continue to help you with it. And thank you for telling us about it, Mitzi.
Thank you for allowing me to.
We are going to thank our sponsor and come back for the Imperfect Action Round. You've heard me say every business needs a book, including yours. And it's true. And that's why you should visit freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com today to learn the 7 steps to publish and promote your nonfiction lead and profit-generating business book in 8 weeks. But you know what? Don't take my word for it. Take it from a few of my authors, like Lori.
And I went from having an idea and a possibility to actually getting my book published.
Or Catherine.
Thank you for making my mom number one best-selling author.
Or Mary Alice.
What he got done for me in 3 days regarding my book launch? Unmanageable.
John Cody.
I've worked with Mario over the phone and online, and he's been very helpful in getting me where I needed to go with promoting my books.
Rocio.
There's no way in the world I would have been able to do this with somebody else. I've attempted it in the past. It didn't serve me. As a matter of fact, I ended up more frustrated than anything. So this has been a very seamless process.
Adele.
If you're looking for an amazing business coach, I highly recommend Mario Ficini.
Or Bill Benner.
I can't make a higher recommendation than to work with Mario Ficini. He has been great for me, and right now I won't work with anybody else except for Mario.
Hey, their words, not mine. Visit freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com to get started now, and I look forward to hearing your transformation as the next video success story. Once again, that's freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com. And we are back with the Imperfect Action Round. Mitzi, are you ready to take imperfect action?
I'm totally ready for imperfect action.
Excellent. I think you take it all the time, and it's a huge contributor to your success. That's why I named it this round. These are 60-second rapid-fire answers. I got a couple of questions. First one, what is the fastest path to the profits?
Gosh, why the fastest path to the profits? A good reputation.
All right. Number two, what is the biggest problem you see your prospects making and the fastest way for them to fix it?
Okay, the biggest profit. Okay, so my prospects in this case are people listening to us because I want them to be part of Win This Fight. Inertia. How do I get you to leap over and just do it? And the answer to getting over the inertia, you'll be so glad you did. For the rest of your life, you're going to be glad you did. Do it. WTF. Text that to 51555. You're going to be so glad.
All right. Number three, what is the best way to maximize customer lifetime value?
Okay, I've got examples from both my late father and my late husband. Just be so consumer-centric. I mean, I felt that that Frank Perdue's attitude, which I endorse, and it will be my answer to the question, he fawned over his customers.
Excellent. I knew you'd nail that. I asked that to everyone, and some of them were – I usually get – wow, that's a great question. I'm so excited because I'm the one who came up with it, and I just knew you'd have a breeze with it because you exemplify it, your dad, your late husband. I mean, it's so ingrained with everything you do. It's
Thank you.
That was an easy one for you, but all right. What books would you recommend to Expert Authority World?
It's an old one, but guess what? It influenced my life. It influenced my father. It influenced my late husband. I think it's just got the wisdom of the ages. It's Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Great recommendation. One of my favorites.
And by the way, father told me that he read it every 10 years.
Oh, I like that. You know, my dad was an inspiration also before he passed, and that was one of the first books. I still have his copy from the 80s, and it's one of the first self-help books I read. Early on in my teens.
And by the way, I'm a total self-help book addict. I don't think 2 months goes by without my reading a self-help book.
That's good advice right there because, you know, more people need to read across the board. And if you are leaders or readers, and if you are reading, read more. It's only better. So, Mitzi, where would you like people to learn more about you?
No, that's really easy. WinThisFight.org.
And what's the text?
The text, oh yes. If you want to get hold of me by going texting WTF, and I do know what it means, WTF to 51555.
Mitzi, I have thoroughly enjoyed this and I thank you for your time.
I can't believe I've had such a good time with you and with our audience. Thank you.
All right, Expert Authority World. We have another great episode here today. I'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day and God bless. You're already the expert, but have you transformed your expertise into a tangible asset that will generate and qualify leads while increasing profit for you 24/7? And if so, how well are you promoting it? With the Expert Authority Effect publishing method, it's easier and faster than ever. Visit freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com today to learn the 7 steps to publish and promote your nonfiction lead and profit-generating business book in 8 weeks. Visit freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com to get started now. Once again, that's freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com.
Hey, thanks for listening to today's episode. I hope you got a lot out of it. I know I sure did. If you haven't done so already, I invite you to subscribe to the show. And also be sure to check out eainterviews.com for complete show notes, the full interview video experience, links to the resources we mentioned, and more. Have a blessed day, and I'll see you tomorrow.